Gentlemen, we're doing the Sefer Midot. We're up to page Shin Lamed Zayin. The Magid Midovna just told us that hatred is only fit for someone who has no hope. If you think that if there's such a person who will never do tshuva, then hatred is relevant. A person shouldn't be misled by the quote in Proverbs where it says, don't fight a person for nothing if they haven't done you bad. You read that, seems to say, if he did you evil, so then you should fight with him. Is that really what King Solomon was saying? Says the Magid Midovna, da, I want you to know. What the verse means to say is as follows. Don't fight with a person unless he meant to do evil and he did do evil. What happens if he meant to do you harm? God made something positive come out of it. As log mal chara, then he didn't really do you bad. The verse means, don't fight someone unless they actually did you harm, then stand up for your rights. So why take revenge and maintain enmity against a fellow Jew just because they wanted to do your harm, if God didn't allow them to actually do it? The word gmalcha means it went from potential to action. If he actively harmed you, then you fight him. But don't fight him just because he meant to. So the Magid Midovna says, and what happens if he succeeded in harming you? So then you have to understand that God let it happen. So then turn your fight heavenward. Obviously you're not going to do that, right? So he's saying, if he only meant to do it, don't hold it against him. And if he succeeded in doing it, well then, obviously God wanted him to succeed in doing it. As King David, who was anointed by God, as he said, when he was being cursed by Shimi ben Gera, the head of the court, so his nephew Avishai said, let me go take off his head. Why should he stand there cursing you and throwing rocks at you? And David said, he wouldn't be cursing me if God hadn't told him to curse me. Obviously, God ordained it that I should be cursed. So don't go taking off his head. So that's the direction the Magid Midovna went. I don't understand what we just read, because in that story, our sages actually say that King David said, he's the head of the Jewish court. If God hadn't ordained him, he wouldn't be cursing the Mashiach of Hashem. Then when King David was saved from his troubles, he realized, okay, then God did not tell him to do this. Obviously, I am desirable before God. And he did want to take revenge from Shimi. So actually, the example he's giving us is something I don't understand. Because you look at the text, it certainly seems to indicate that David HaMelech held it against him till the end of his life. He held it against Shimi. So I don't know. I don't know what the proof from what he's saying is. Yes.
Two-part question. First of all, well, not two part. Two separate questions. One is if you could repeat the verse by Shlomo HaMelech. I didn't quite get it.
The verse says, "Al tarivi madam chinam." Don't fight a person for nothing. Imlok malcha ra, unless he did you harm.
And indicating that the only reason to fight a person is if he did you harm, otherwise it's fighting someone for nothing.
Right. So he said, don't misunderstand the verse, because you might think the verse means to say if he did, then you should fight him. And he's saying no, even then you shouldn't fight him.
Okay, so I was going the other way, and then I want to challenge that afterwards. But first, my original question was, if you need to fight someone, or if you feel the need to fight someone, even though he didn't do you harm, whether physical harm or even a personal verbal harm or something, but take, for example, the Jew on campus who the pro-Palestinian students are talking bad about the Jewish people as a whole, saying that Israel is occupiers, they're the new Nazis, everything like that. To a degree, whether or not physical, does he not have the obligation to stand up and oppose, which would be a form of fighting?
He has that obligation, but that's a separate class, because you're bringing in a discussion of us as a nation being attacked and the individual's representation of the nation, which is a separate point. We also have to define the word tariv, which you're interpreting to mean any argument or even a verbal dispute or that really needs. I didn't say it's not relevant. It's a separate discussion. I mean, it's a good point. Yeah.
So what if it's less on the level of the cloud, like meaning less collective? You know, Jews are the new Nazis, and they're occupying Palestinians or whatever, and they should all be what? Take that away, and instead there's a neo-Nazi in New York who sees a Jew walking down the streets, salutes his arm as if it's Hitler, and calls him a cunt. Okay. Does that Jew not have the obligation to stand up for the dignity of the Jewish people?
Two things. I don't know if it's the dignity of the Jewish people, and I'm not sure what that Jew could do. What do you want him to do?
Just throwing out an idea. Not just
I don't think so.
So what's the proper thing? I mean, he caused harm. I mean, at least not yet. But you know, how could you just let? I don't understand how
I'm asking. What response would you? What response would you recommend?
If the Jew feels like he could take him without getting like himself more hurt, whether by the other guy, his friends, or the police, why not take him?
Okay, I don't think so.
But it's a harm to dignity. You know what I mean? And that's important, no? Meaning that we have an honor.
Like that's true when you can really do something. Sometimes the more powerful response is not to acknowledge the existence of the other one. Saying it's not always more potent to react. Sometimes the lack of a reaction is a more potent response, and I think some thought should be invested as to which response is going to achieve the most. It's not only a question of what's right and wrong, it's also a question of what's practical. And I agree with you that certain actions can be very potent and shouldn't be misconstrued as just being an expression of one's beliefs. I agree with that. When in Europe people are putting signs in their windows that say, "I hate Jews," J-U-I-C-E, because legally they can't write something else. There's obviously a spirit, a flame that's being fed, and that's very dangerous. I agree with that. And nonetheless, you have to think what's going to practically achieve a greater result. So that's, I think, again, that's a little bit different topic. You're also bringing into our discussion a question between a Jew and a non-Jew, whereas I think the Magen Midvar is very careful to be discussing between Jews. The discussion between a Jew and a non-Jew is another discussion, but that's not what he's discussing here.